Okay. For those of you who are going tomorrow night to the Grand Ole Opry, guess who's got your tickets?
Jack.
And if you want your tickets, you got to come see me after the service this morning. Now, I need you to wear your name tags to the banquet tonight, and they will be picked up during the end of the meal. We will. I will tell you where to lay them at the time, okay? Plus, you need them this afternoon. Plus, like somebody reminded me, if you're going to nominate somebody from the floor, which you may do, make sure you have asked that person and they have agreed and that they're here before you stand up and say, I want to nominate so-and-so, because you can nominate from the floor in case you weren't aware of that. So I think that covers everything I've got for this morning. So I'm going to give it back to Miss Connie.
And you can give it to Pauline, or she can come up here.
Nominated from the board for president is re-election of Connie Grace. For membership secretary, Reba Dunn. For representative for three-year terms, Yvonne Lawrence and Connie Cutler. To finish out Bob Green's term, will be 2 years, Dory Mates.
Thank you. And now our song leader this morning is Sandy Wise.
Good morning, everybody. Okay. Our first song we're going to do is Breathe On Me, page 27 in the Braille, 25 in the print. Sometimes we're stubborn and we don't want to do God's will, but if we ask him to empower us, then we will be able to do his will.
Thank you.
All right, that's good. All right, the next song we're going to do is Are You Washed in the Blood? Braille page 14 and print 12. Page 14 in the Braille and 12 in the print. Got to get ready. The next song we're going to do is Love Lifted Me, and that's page 120 in the Braille and 109 in the print. And you know, when we faithfully give service to the Lord, it shows that we love Him just as well as we know that He loves us.
Oh,
Praise God. That is true. Love. His love will lift us up each morning.
Thanks again, Sandy. I've already made one blunder this morning, but John was supposed to come before the singing, but John will come now, won't you?
For I want you, this is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Christ versus the Colossian heresy. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. For I may be absent in body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the strength of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in love, and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, based on human tradition, based on the elemental heroes of the world, and not based on Christ. For in him the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily, and you have been filled by him, who is the head of over every ruler and authority. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not done by hands, but putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of the Messiah. Having been buried with him in baptism, you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you also alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out on the way of nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you in regard to food or drink, or in the matter of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Those are a shadow of what was to come, the substance of the blessed of the Messiah. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on ascetic practices and the working of angels, claiming access to a visionary realm and an inflated working caused by his fleshly mind. He doesn't hold to the head, from whom the whole body has been nourished and held together by ligaments and tendons, develops with growth from God. If you died with Christ in the element, nourished and held together by the ligaments and tendons, develops with growth from God. If you died with Christ to the elemental forces of this world, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these regulations? Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek after what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. The end of Colossians, chapters 2 and 3.
Thank you, John. You're welcome, Connie. And now our devotion will be by Jeanette Martin.
I will start out by saying a good verse to go with this is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me.
Amen.
All my life, I have not had a straight back. In the early 90s, the first flare-up of spinal stenosis showed up. It wasn't quite as bad as this one. It was bad, but not quite. And I refused the surgery then because I was Mama's caregiver. But anyway, I took the spinal shots they suggested. They did good. But in 2011, I went for them again. they didn't do so good. So there's a series of three. The middle one immediately numbed my body. There wasn't anything on my body but the elbow on the left arm to the tip of my fingers that wasn't numb. I didn't even know if I had feet yet or not. Didn't know where they were either. I had to be lifted from one setting to the next. Finally, somebody told me I was moving my right foot, which I didn't even know it was. She said, keep it up, you'll get circulation. Okay. Next in line, I was visited by an insurance guy who lied. I wish they wouldn't, but that one did. Okay, he told me I could save a whole raft of money. I said, is this an HMO? He said, no. Well, I signed the paper, and the first thing I got after that, HMO in big letters. Well, my arthritic doctor recommended another doctor from the one I got now. Okay, I found out the HMO would not cover his activity. And also I found out he wasn't taking new patients. So I got the second choice. He was taking new patients, but their HMO wouldn't do him either. So I was trying to get it all figured out. And I called the lady from HMO, and she could tell I was dissatisfied or something was bothering me. She said, if you don't like it, you can get out of it if you do it by February 14th. I said, how do I do it? Call Medicare. Well, without hanging up the phone, I pushed a button and dialed Medicare. Now, I have Sterling Life. I got that started in March of 2012. I really wanted the surgery in the early March. Well, that was delay number one. Okay, I saw the doctor, Dr. William Harris, very good doctor, sports doctor. And this spinal stenosis, it narrows things in your spine, and it can get your disc all out of shape, which it had done. It can also mess up your kidneys and bowels, which it did for me. And I had no control over the kidneys at all. And the bowels didn't work at all. So I was feeling pretty low. And there was days when I wanted to just quit. But I didn't stay in that category long because I know what negativism does. It drains you. And so anyway, the next delay on the scene was I was anemic. My blood count was 5. Sherry said it should be between 15 and 50. I said, wow. Well, I took iron for quite a while, and I'm off of it now because it's up to par. Okay, I went to the hospital on July 11 for the surgery. Guess what? Urinary tract infection. Canceled. So I got medicine for that and got rid of that. They scheduled it for the 1st of August. And it happened. But let me tell you a little bit about what happened that morning. John Plouffe moved down to my house, down to my neighborhood. There's only one apartment between us. His furniture was much delayed, so he stayed at my house until it came. He went to the winter board meeting. I kept the keys. I let the furniture in. And then he came back. And by that time, he moved over actually into his apartment. And so he came over that morning. He's going to meet Pauline and I at my house. And guess what? He didn't hear a sound when he knocked. Well, we had exchanged door keys. So he opened the door, came upstairs, and woke me up. First thing I said, what time is it? 7:45. We were to be at the hospital at 8:30. So I ignored putting the soap on my back, whatever it was, and dressed and took off. We were just maybe 5 minutes late, but we were there. So they told me I'd get by without the soap. They'd do it. And anyway, the surgery was 5 hours, they told me. And that night, there was pain. But guess what? It was a different pain. So I knew it'd been helpful. But the pain I'm talking about was 7 months, intense, nonstop pain, and the maximum dosage of hydrocodone didn't phase it. Of course, I've got off of that now, and I still have arthritis, so I'm using only Tylenol to control that. So that's much better. And when I left the hospital people said, you have to stay out the stairs for life. Guess what? My bedrooms were upstairs. No elevators. So I thought, do I have to move? Not now. Well, John had an extra bed, so I went over there and slept nights there. Then when I saw the surgeon, I said, did you say that? He said, no. I said, well, can I use the stairs? He said, you might fall. I said, you're absolutely right. I said, I was raised on stairs. And the only time I fell was my own carelessness. At that time, I hardly ever touched a rail. But now I won't go up or down the steps without it. And in some cases, I use a quad cane also with it. I move myself back to my house at night. And John eats at my house regularly. He likes it that way, and I do too. And he watches me very closely. He can tell you when I need to stop without asking. He takes off home at that case. I have the quad cane here. I can stand a little bit if I got something to lean on. If I don't sit down pretty quick, I'll fall down. Now, my knee is still acting up. My feet and ankles are too. I hope that's not going to turn out to be permanent, but it's been doing it so long, I'm not sure. What happens, it feels like somebody has attached rubber bands to my ankle and keeps tightening them. And they act like they're going to stiffen up to not even work. So I move my feet up and down most of the time. Hopefully it won't let it go clear to paralysis. And the doctor knows about it, and we're studying what's going on. Okay, I did get down into the dumps at times where I didn't care if I lived or not. Well, I'll tell you what, we all get into those moods. Don't stay there. Do you know what brought me out? Music.
Hallelujah.
Now, there's dozens or more hymns that would have done it. I didn't feel like getting them finding the records or reading the book. So I thought of these hymns and more from memory. And I think I'll read a few of them real quick, like. We're starting with Because He Lives. God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, to heal, and forgive. And that is what He really does. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty tomb is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby. I felt 1-3 days old. That's just as good. And feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance. This is what I got. This child can live, face uncertain days because He lives. I'm one of those that did.
Yeah.
And then one day, I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And will I be glad to get rid of it? And I bet another whole bunch of people will too. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. And I'll know He lives.
Amen.
Because He lives. I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, I know because He lives. What's the rest of the chance? Because He lives. Because I know
who holds the future.
Because he, life is worth living because he lives. I should have that real clear. Now, that's not the only one I'm going to read. There's another one I want to read. Higher Ground. We sing that this week. I didn't think of it until now. But I'm pressing on the upward way. I am. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay. You better not. Where doubts and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I wanted to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, and they surely are. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the sound of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights. I want to catch a glimpse of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I found. Lord,
my aim is higher ground. Thank you, Jeanette. Praise the Lord for the way he took care of you, too, huh?
Yes, and he's still doing it.
The special music is next, and we didn't know we was going to have Joanne Yates here, so Robin has promised to shorten her devotion because we are running late on time already, and we don't want to miss Joanne, and we don't want to miss our special speaker.
Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom with radiance and with love within my heart. Oh, how I love you, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise Christ forevermore. Precious Redeemer, blessed Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. For sin bleeding, for sinners bleeding, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Thank you for that harmony.
Thanks, Robin, and thanks for your cooperation of that. And now we have the privilege of having Joanne Cash Yates.
I'm not Joanne, but I'm going to talk a minute just before she comes. I know y'all knew that the minute I started talking, right? But anyway, I want to say a couple of things. First of all, thank you, Jack, and all of y'all for having us here this week. We are so blessed to be here. I hope you got something out of what's been done, and you get something out of today, and we hope you've had a great time in Nashville. It's one of the great places to be, and I know y'all are from all over the country, so we're glad you are here, and I just want to say a special thank you for all of that. I also want to tell you that some of you asked about getting some of Joanne's CDs, and we did bring a few, so when we're totally finished, there was a little table just outside the door. If you want to go out there, we'll be out there, and she'll be glad to sign stuff and all that if you want her to. And I just want to give you all that information. But I hope that more than anything, you know, it's just like this lady, I can't remember her name because I actually didn't hear it when they introduced her a while ago, who was giving this testimony. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody says you can't do. you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things, not just most things, all things, you know. And thank God for all of you that instead of going around saying, well, I've got a problem, I'm visually impaired or I'm blind or whatever, you say, so what? I got something to do for Jesus. God loves me, and he's going to help me get this accomplished. Amen? So God bless you. I encourage you today. Follow the will of God in your life, and it'll lead you where you want to go. Okay? You may not know you want to go there right now, but it'll lead you where you really want to go because you just want to please him anyway, right? I have found that to be pretty true, that quite often when you're really doing what God wants you to do, while you're doing that, your aches and pains, they may still be there, but they're covered up for a while because you're busy doing something else. See, that's why we need to don't hide in our house. One of the things I tell my church all the time, whatever you do, don't hide in your house. Because all you do there is you only got yourself to listen to, you know. And usually we're fairly negative about what, you know, I got this pain or I can't do this or something else. But I encourage you today, hang on to Jesus and do what he tells you. And you'll come out really, really well the other end of this story. We're all going to a place where there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more frailties in our bodies. There'll be no more everybody be able to hear, see, taste, touch, smell, and everything. Everybody's going to, isn't it going to be great over there? Amen. I can hardly wait till we get over there. How about you? Amen. Amen. But until that time, we're going to just go ahead and do what Jesus said to do. Amen.
Amen.
Many of you went to Cowboy Church Sunday. Some of you couldn't for various reasons, and we apologize that that couldn't be worked out. But you heard Joanne sing a couple of songs. But so I really, really, I asked Jack if it'd be okay to bring her this week and for one of the times for this morning time, and have her sing two or three songs, and then share her testimony about finding the will of God in her life.
Amen.
And so you'll hear a story about trials and tribulations and problems and situations. But let's look at the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon said, serve God and live. Amen. Anyway, and so she'll be out there if you want her to sign anything after we get done here. But right now, I just want you to welcome my wife, Joanne Cash Yates.
Hello, everyone. I'm so blessed to be able to be here with you this morning. I've been sitting in the back just listening to everyone, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of your morning and be a part of your day. Let me just say right up front, I love Jesus too. He's my Savior and my Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he has set me free in 1970, and I've been free ever since. Now, I want to start with a song, and I think we all know it. Will the circle be unbroken? And I want you to sing with me, okay? Go ahead and start the music. Turn it up a little bit. A little bit more. I was standing by my window on one cold and cloudy day when I saw that hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home behind her, trying to hold up and be brave. But I could not hide my sorrow when they laid her in the grave. Now everybody sing. Will the circle be unbroken by and
by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. One more time. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Amen. Amen. Let me just tell you a little bit about me and my life and what the Lord has done. I was raised on a 40-acre cotton farm in northeast Arkansas. Anybody raised on a farm?
Yes.
All right. We were raised on a cotton farm about an hour across the Mississippi River Bridge at Memphis over into Arkansas. My daddy was a hard-working cotton farmer. And he taught me at a very young age that it's a gift from God to get out and work hard and do the best you can and make a living for your family. Now, I know sometimes we get problems in our lives and we're not able to do that. But my daddy, his philosophy in life was, let's work hard and get the job done. And that caused me to be so thankful for the least little thing I have today. I'm thankful for a bed to sleep in. I'm thankful that I've got people that care about me and love me. You know, those the simple things in life are the most important. If we got people that we love and the people that love us, that is such a blessing of the Lord. Now, growing up on the farm in Arkansas, I went to church with my family. We were raised Baptist, and we went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. And also, working in the cotton fields was where I first learned to sing. My family sang all day in the cotton fields to pass the time away. And then when we come home at night for supper, after the dishes were washed, we gathered around Mama's old upright piano. How many knows what one of those are? Oh, I know how old you are. And we'd sing for about an hour until bedtime, and that was our entertainment. But it was all gospel music, and that instilled in me the music and the gospel. Even though I didn't have Christ in my life at that time, I grew up, and we would also sing, of course, in church. But I grew up in the cotton field. I grew up in a loving family, and I'm so grateful to God for that. My mother and my dad were strong Christians, and I learned to know who Jesus was. Well, as I grew up, and before my brother Johnny Cash became so famous, we went to school like everybody else, like other kids, and I learned so much growing up, not only about the books and the learning, but about life. And I learned that I can go down the right road or I can go down the wrong road, because God gives us a choice of what we want to do. That's why He's God. We're not robots. He gives us a choice to choose right and wrong. And I chose the wrong way for a long time in my young adult life. I was about 17 years old. I went into a time in my life that I got into drugs, I got into alcohol, and I almost lost my life two different times with accidental drug overdoses, not realizing how much I had taken and what it was doing to my body. And I woke up in an emergency room, and the doctor talked to me like a daddy, and he said, you stop doing that. You stop doing that because it's hurting you. And I didn't listen for a while, and I went back to where I was living. And one day, my brother Johnny Cash called me on the phone. I was living in Houston, Texas. And he said, he always called me baby because I'm the baby sister
I'm next to youngest of seven in my family, in the Cash family. And he called me home. He said, I want you to come home, drive from Houston to Nashville, and I want you to start a new life. Well, to make a long story short, I did that. I have three beautiful children, and I came to Nashville, and I came to my mother's house, who lived right across the road from Johnny at the time. And I remember when I drove in that driveway, and I saw my mother. She was 5'9" tall, and let me just say, lady, she ruled the roost. She told me, she opened that big door to me, and she opened up her arms, and she said, well, hello, honey, you've come home to Jesus. Amen. And I thought, oh, my goodness. See, I thought I was too bad for Jesus to love. You know, and we're not. Jesus forgives us of all of our sins. And there's another choice right there. I was convinced by the old enemy that the devil had convinced me that I was too bad for Jesus to love, which is such a lie. Anyway, another long story short, Johnny had become very famous, and his music was playing all over the world. One of the times when he come to me, he said, you want to go with me to a show? I said, yes, I do. So I got in his Cadillac, and I drove about an hour to a place where he was having a show. He said, now, when I get there, there's a young man going to come out and front the show. I said, what's that? He said, they're going to get the crowds lively up and start clapping their hands, and he's going to sing a little bit, and then they're going to bring the star out. I said, well, who's the star? He said, that's me. I said, you can't be a star. You're my brother. So when I got to the theater that evening, and he took me backstage, because he always did that, because he's my big brother. And the young man that was going to go out and front the show, can anybody guess who he was? Elvis Presley. Woo! Oh, ladies, he was pretty, too. But I married Harry. By the way, Harry and me have been married 41 years. Anyway, when Elvis Presley went out and started singing, and I thought, oh, my goodness, he sure is handsome. And all the girls were going crazy over him. So when he come off the stage and Johnny went on the stage to sing, I didn't watch Johnny. I went backstage and talked to Elvis for an hour and a half. And he held my hand. Oh, my goodness. But I married Harry. Anyway, some of the many, many wonderful, wonderful times that I sang on the stage with Johnny, and he's recorded with me a lot. But anyway, let me get you to the Sunday that I gave my heart to Jesus. October the 18th, 1970, I went to a church in Nashville, Tennessee, where I met a young man that was the youth leader. His name was Harry Yates. And anyway, they had been praying for me for 6 months, and I didn't even know them. So you can pray for somebody even if you don't know them. So when I walked in that church that day, and the power of God hit me, and I realized that I needed a Savior. And there's so much more to my story, but time would have me not to tell all of it. But anyway, I walked in the church that Sunday morning, and when I started listening to the pastor preach, and it seemed like that everything he was saying was about me, and because I was convicted of my sins. And as he gave an altar call and asked people to come down and accept Christ. I don't even remember the walk to the altar. I just remember being there. I fell down on my knees. And this pastor and Harry Yates both came over, and they were laughing at me. And I'm thinking, what are they laughing about? It's me that's got the problem. But they were laughing with joy because I had finally come to the Lord. And the pastor led me through the sinner's prayer. And I received Christ that Sunday morning, October the 18th, 1970. And ladies and gentlemen, he totally changed my life. He set me free. I could feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit starting at my feet and washing me upward until I felt like I could fly, because that was the deliverance from the drugs and alcohol and the salvation and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that came into me and set me free. And nobody had to tell me whether I was born again or not, because I knew then and I know now that I am born again. I love the Lord with all my heart. And he's allowed me to sing and record. I'm working on my 30th CD, all gospel. Amen. 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 Now, that Sunday morning, I met this young, handsome Harry Yates. He was the youth leader. And we began to work together in the church with the youth. And in 1971, our church took a tour to Israel. There was 41 of us. And we got to go see Jerusalem. Amen. Oh, what a day that's going to be when we get to see the real holy city, Jerusalem. Yes. But we saw Jerusalem and Israel. And what a joy it was to our bus turned and drove up on top of the Mount of Olives, and all of a sudden, there was Jerusalem, the city of God. And we fell in love in Tel Aviv, Israel. Everybody say, ah. And we came home and we got married. December the 27th, 1971. So it's right at Christmas time. So I get two presents. Yeah. So my life, I've grown up knowing a lot of the country music artists. They're close friends of ours. Johnny Cash, of course, because he was my very dear brother. We were very close growing up. And we've met a lot of the stars, the people that we call stars. But you know, the biggest stars in God's kingdom is you. The people that have accepted Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. It's not who's a star and who's not. It's whether or not your heart is filled and you know Jesus. You know, one day soon, I believe Jesus is coming back. Amen. I believe he's coming soon. And no matter what problems we have on this earth, is nothing compared to the glory and the power of God and the blessings and the peace and freedom from pain and suffering forever and ever in heaven. Amen. Johnny recorded a song with me. And I don't think there's anybody in the Christian world that don't know Amazing Grace. Amen. Johnny came in the studio with me one day, and he did that often. And he said, "Baby, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm recording a song." He said, "What are you singing?" I said, "Get on the microphone and sing with me." He said, "Well, what are we singing?" I said, "You'll know it when the music starts." So we did this one time. That's number 11, brother. And go ahead and turn it on. I want you to sing with Johnny Cash and with me, Amazing Grace. More volume if you can. There we go. You're going to hear his voice.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Was great. Thank you so much for listening to me this morning. By the way, I haven't had a drop of alcohol nor any of those drugs since 1970. There's another song I'd like to sing that kind of sums up my story on the farm. My daddy, as I said, was a hard-working farmer, and we had... There was seven of us in our family. We all worked hard. And this song is simply called Daddy's Song. So listen to the words of it. I hope you be blessed. Walked 1,000 miles of cotton rows, pulling a sack and swinging a hoe. We worked hard and things were rough back then. Daddy drove an old John Deere day after day and year after year. That I could go back there again. I remember cardboard in my shoes, the hand-me-downs I wore to school. I remember seeing my daddy cry. When he got paid, we always owed. Jesus. We all have Him, don't we? The most valuable thing in the universe, the Lord Jesus. Listen to this next verse. Touches my heart. Sometimes Mama barely had enough to feed us kids and that old wolf that Daddy said was always at our door. But when the crops were all laid by, Daddy prayed that we'd survive till summer came and cotton grew once more. And on Sunday morning, we'd load up in that broken down old pickup truck with a door on the right that would close. And Daddy slipped on around that curve, and Tommy rolled out in the snow, and Mama prayed all the way to church. Yes, she did. I remember cardboard in my shoes, the hand-me-downs I wore to school. My daddy cried, 'cause every week when he got paid, we always owed more than he made. But we had things that money couldn't buy. I thank God for things that money cannot buy. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you enjoyed, Joanne? Okay. Just because we want to do this. Now, turn that off there, Bruce. Unless you wanted me to sing. No, I'm kidding. Joanne. I'm never through with you, honey. Excuse me. Anyway, I want to take just a few moments, first of all, to tell you how much we appreciate being here. But also, quite often, we leave people with a lot of questions. And we want to take a few moments. We still early. It's not quite lunchtime yet. And see if there's any of you have questions, either you want to ask Joanne either about Johnny Cash or about the spiritual things, or, you know, finding the will of God in your life is not the easiest thing there is. You know, it takes work. It takes work and it takes dedication. As we've already talked about this week. And what's happening is that when you're going through all the problems like she was going through, it's even hard to know what God wants you to do. And sometimes we just need help. One of the great things I have found around here since I've been coming over here with you guys is y'all all help each other. Would be that God's people would do that all the time. Amen. Not because they feel like they need to, because we all need it. Yeah. We all need it. So anyway, I have a question back here. And go ahead.
Tell about the salvation of some of the other members of your family. I knew that John has appeared with D. James Kennedy on Truth to Transform. First thing that ever happened was a boy named Sue. Tell about the other members of the
family. Yeah, and that was before salvation. Yes. So a lot of entertainers did a lot of things before they got saved. And unfortunately, that's what the world wants to play. So anyway, Joanne will answer that for you.
Johnny was a very strong Christian. He gave his heart to the Lord in the last several years of his life. He was very dedicated to the Lord. The other members of my family were all born again. My older brother, Roy, loved the Lord. He was,
He was one of those high up people with Chrysler Corporation. He invented the cruise control for Chrysler. My next sister, Louise, was a Bible teacher. My third brother, Jack, he was killed when he was 14, called to preach. He's in heaven. And my next brother was, of course, Johnny Cash. And he was born again. He loved the Lord. He told me just before he passed away, he said, "Baby, I can't hardly wait to see Jesus."
He and Billy Graham were very, very close friends.
Yes. He worked on the Billy Graham Crusades a lot, Johnny did. Then my next sister, Reba, was Johnny's business manager, and she loved the Lord too. She went to heaven in 2006. And then there's me, Joanne. You just heard my story. And the youngest in our family, my brother Tommy Cash, sounds exactly like Johnny, and he loves Jesus too. So there you go.
Okay, now, two quick things. One, we want to get to all your questions, so you'll have to answer not quite as long an answer. Okay? Precious. All right. Okay, you had a question, young lady, right here in the front row.
I'm the sister of fellow that you talked to back there. But anyway, Amazing Grace, of course, is the theme song of Willie Nelson, too.
Yes.
And but I just kind of wonder, just for our benefit, is there any physical similarities, Joanne, that you have with Johnny Cash? Like,
I look like him right in the face.
Cool. She looks... Yeah, she. I'll answer that question. Joanne looks a lot. She and Johnny have been accused of being twins, born 6 years apart, because they look alike. They look alike. We just see them together. As a matter of fact, on one of the CDs, if you can actually see it, even if you get close to it, that we have out there, there's a picture of her and him, and it is. They look a lot alike. They sing a lot alike. Really, the texture of their voices are absolutely the same. So
Tommy sings.
He does. He sings. Yeah. So he's good. Okay. Yes. Back here.
I would like to ask a question. I heard you singing about your precious mommy and daddy. What were their names?
What were their names of Mama and Papa Cash?
My mother's name was Carrie, Carrie, and my daddy's name was Ray. Ray and Carrie Cash.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, sir. You had a question. Somebody else got a question? Yes, sir.
Johnny's wife, June Carter Cash, still living, and did Johnny have children?
No, she's dead.
Okay, say that again.
And did Johnny have children?
Yes. Yes. June has passed away. As a matter of fact, we lost four family members in 6 months in 2003. Their older sister, Louise, passed away in April. June Carter passed away in May. Johnny passed away in September, and June's youngest daughter, Rosie, passed away in October, all in the same year. It was a tragic year. The answer to those other questions is, I can answer those for you as well, that Johnny had four girls from a previous marriage, if you know his story, Roseanne, Cindy, Kathy, and Tara. Roseanne, you probably know, is a wonderful singer. Okay? And then June had daughters from previous marriage, Roseanne, who is a singer, Carlene, and Rosie, and Rosie's passed away. Carlene's still singing. Does that answer the question? And then the two of them together have one son, John Carter. And he sings, has his own little band, travels. But what he does, he's 6'4". What he does more than anything else is he actually is a producer of CDs and albums and things at the little studio. It's not a little studio anymore, where Johnny had built, where he did a lot of his own recording there beside his house, called Cash Cabin. And John Carter just got through working, just doing some production on just a few weeks ago with Loretta Lynn. So, I mean, he does a lot of stuff with a lot of folks.
I record there also.
And how much are your CDs?
CDs are $10 a piece, or 3 for $25. And... I'm sorry? We have several different ones. If you want to look at them, I can tell you about them. Once we get out there by the table, just go outside the doors there and be patient because there's a bunch of you, and we'd be glad to take time with each of you. Any other questions?
You have some of those CDs with Johnny Cash?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Joanne has recorded several songs with Johnny Cash. We have at least four CDs that have Johnny on them with her. One is called Live. We did it live in a church in North Carolina. And it was wonderful. They did this recording, and he came over, and they did a lot of songs that you recognize, like Precious Memories, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be, Lord, I'm Coming Home, Blessed Assurance. And anyway. Anybody else got a question? No? Oh, no, we're done. Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah,
hang on 1 second. What's that?
Isn't that amazing? You grew up in a family where Christ was talked about and taught.
Yes, ma'am.
And yet, like the rest, you know, like we all do, we somehow turn a deaf ear to it and a blind eye, but it has never, it has never left you. And that's why I always say to my friends who are still praying for their lost children, don't ever, ever give up, because God never gives up.
No, ma'am. He does never give up. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And I thank God. I thank God every day for my mother and my parents' teaching about Christ. Yes, ma'am. Right on the front row here. Yes, ma'am. What's your question?
How did the Texas Troubadour Theater come by its name?
The Texas Troubadour Theater is named after Ernest Tubbs' traveling band. Their name was the Texas Troubadours.
Actually, you remember Ernest Tubb? Anybody remember Ernest Tubb? He was born and raised in Texas, and actually, he and his wife are good friends with my mom and dad. So we all knew all of these folks. And he was actually called, when they introduced him, please welcome the Texas Troubadour. He was from Texas, and he was a singer, which is a troubadour, and said, please welcome the Texas Troubadour, Ernest Tubb. So when he built the gift shops and Ernest Tubb's record shops and all that, and he built the first theater, he called it the Texas Troubadour Theater. Okay, anybody else?
Yes, can anybody make a living in cotton these days?
Can anybody make a living in cotton these days? Probably not. Not, no. Everything's so government subsidized now, it's they still grow it. Well, a lot of people don't know is Franklin Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt were the ones who actually created these farms back during, right after the Depression in the early 30s, so that these people who could really work hard, and they gave them these farms. They gave them a 40-acre farm. There were 500 of them, okay, in Arkansas there. And they gave them these farms to people who were hardworking families and all of that. And so it's an amazing story. If you ever want to get somebody to look it up for you and you know, Google or whatever they do now, they drug me kicking and screaming into this century and computer stuff, so... You know, but anyway, would you like to hear one more song? Yay! Yeah. Okay. And then we're going to let Jack or whoever takes over there will take over. And by the way, just before we do that, how about a really nice hand for Bruce and all his hard work back here? Thank you, Bruce. God bless you. Anyway, Joanne's going to sing a song that I actually wrote. And it actually was number one. And it's called Cotton Popcorn. Oh, hang on.
Let me say something before you do that. I want y'all to know, when I came up here to Nashville to meet with Brother Harry, I knew then that the Lord was going to bless us through him. And hasn't he blessed us?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Harry. Kind of blessing to be your brother in Christ.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
The blessing truly is ours.
Yes.
truly is ours. And yes. Anybody got a question? Yes.
When I came to Nashville, I wanted to know if Tennessee Ernie Ford has been inducted to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Good.
Okay.
He was a very good singer, and I enjoyed him very much.
Anyway, when we're done, if you want to take pictures with Joanne outside by the table, you're certainly welcome to do that, okay?
I'm out of line, brother.
You're out. You're out of line. You mean you're out of line as in talking or out of line as in the line that's forming?
I'm out of line all the way around. I just want to thank you guys for coming up and letting me be a part of it. Because all my life they said, you can't do. Even in my church today, they said, you can't do. And God has blessed me to be able to be a part of two of the greatest people I've known in Nashville. Pastor Harry Yates and Joanne Cash Yates. God has given me the opportunity to be able to do the sound for Joanne Cash Yates. Don't tell me that God can't do, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
And I thank you.
Amen.
God.
Thank you, brother. Anybody ever told you couldn't do something? Don't believe them. You can do what you make your mind up to do. Amen. Anyway, this is a song that Joanne asked me one day, said, back quite a few years ago. Now said, I asked her, I said, well, what were you raised on? And she said, cotton, popcorn, peanuts, and Jesus. So I wrote the song, and here it is.
Okay.
Well, it'll be there when Bruce gets it.
Okay. Thank you for letting me come today. I hope you've been you've been blessed.
He knows where it is.
Okay. Thank you, Daddy, for raising me in a family where love was more than just a word. You had a way of loving and a way of living that no money could ever afford. In a little Delta town, on a little cotton farm, you taught me all the things that I should know. With Mama beside you and Jesus to guide you, we never lacked for anything more. Here it is. We had cotton and popcorn and peanuts and Jesus. As a child was all I ever needed. In the conflicts of life, I would not have fallen if these things I would have heeded. I didn't know that we were poor till someone said we were, 'cause we always had good food on the table. And there's one thing for sure, there were patches on our clothes, but each one was sewn with lots of love. I thank God for Mom and Dad and the simple life of happiness on that little farm in Arkansas. Oh, the fresh air was breathing while Jesus was leading. We never lacked for anything more. We had cotton and popcorn and peanuts and Jesus. As a child, all I ever needed. In the conflicts of life, I would not have fallen if these things I would have hated. We had cotton and popcorn and peanuts and Jesus. As a child, it's all I ever needed. In the conflicts of life, I would not have fallen if these things I would have hated. We had cotton and popcorn and peanuts and Jesus. As a child, it's all I ever needed. In the conflicts of life,
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you so much, both of you, for that good Bible study. You only got two of your 3 days off because you gave it up for your wife. Is there anything you did want to say, Pastor Yates?
What's that?
Was there anything else you did want to say yourself since you gave up your Bible study for your wife?
No.
Okay. Thank you, both of you. Thank you so much for being willing to give up your time to come here to be with us. Shall we give them another hand, folks? Let us pray. Our Father, we can't thank you and praise you enough for this wonderful conference we've had with the good Bible studies, the good music today, and the wonderful praising testimony from Diane, how the Lord brought her out of that drugs, etc. You are so wonderful. Only you could have done that, and we all know it. And we pray now that we will continue to be blessed tonight at our banquet music. And we pray now that for as everybody goes to have lunch, we pray for your blessing upon the food, we pray. Amen.